As we've discovered in the last few weeks, Paul wrote the first letter to the Thessalonian church because he had things that he wanted to know and things that he wanted to say, but he couldn't be with them and he couldn't stand it any longer. Circumstances beyond his control dictated that he was separated from the people that he genuinely cared about and he wanted to be together with, and that separation lasted for a long time. So now, pause for a second and try to reach deep into your imagination and pretend that you've experienced something beyond your control that has forced you to be physically separate from people you care about. You're concerned about the safety and well-being of these people. Now, imagine that this separation lasts much longer than you initially thought it would. And imagine for the time being that you have no way to get back together with these people who are dear to you. Now, I know this is really hard to imagine things like this, but it's a good exercise in trying to empathize with Paul and his companions as they write this letter to the Thessalonians. Welcome back, Capital Community Church, and any guests who are listening today. Due to time constraints, I was not able to put together a video this time, so I'm coming to you with audio only. Thank God for technology. We don't have to wait weeks or months like the Thessalonians did for this week's sermon to arrive. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for circumstances that remind us that we are not in control. Thank you for distance and absence that makes the heart grow fonder. Please give us sharp minds and soft hearts as we listen to discern what you would speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me read the passage in context before we pull it apart looking for details. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who was our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you and that our labors might have been in vain. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith, for now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. This is a really short but condensed and concentrated chapter. There are fairly obvious topic and style shifts, breaking it up into three concise parts. Paul continues from chapter 2, explaining the situation and circumstances leading up to sending Timothy to encourage the Thessalonians. Then he shows genuine joy at hearing Timothy's report, and then he closes this part of the letter with a prayer of benediction over the Thessalonians. So looking at verses 1 to 5, Paul is continuing on from the end of chapter 2, the longing that Paul and his companions have to see them again has come to a point where they couldn't stand it any longer, and they had to do something quick. So they sent Timothy from Athens to the Thessalonians to encourage them. Now, I just want to point out that they couldn't stand it any longer, and the best they could do was to send Timothy. Now, Athens is about 500 kilometers from Thessaloniki. The average healthy person walks about 6 kilometers an hour. So if Timothy walked 8 to 10 hours a day, it would take him about 8 to 10 days to get there. This is beginning to remind me of elementary school math problems. I'm not sure if Timothy walked or sailed. According to Google, a modern-day ferry takes up to 30 hours. Obviously, Timothy didn't have modern-day ferries back then, but then a cursory search didn't turn up any results for sailing times. However, if anyone wants to send me to Athens, I'm willing to take a yacht cruise in the Aegean Sea, you know, for research and spiritual formation purposes. At any rate, it took Timothy at least a few days to get there. We don't know how long he spent with the believers there. Then it would take him as long to return to Athens, or perhaps a little longer if he met up with Paul in Corinth instead. All the while, Paul and the rest of them were already at a point where they couldn't stand it any longer, and they had to remain in that state for 2 or 3 weeks while Timothy brought the news back. In his own writing, Paul's concern for the Thessalonians is twofold. He uses the same wording to explain both. In verse 1, "So when we could stand it no longer, we sent Timothy to strengthen and encourage you." Then a little down the page in verse 5 again, "When we could stand it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out about your faith in the face of the persecution that they had been told to expect," which was so severe that is why Paul and the group had to leave in the first place. Now, I imagine Paul as the champion persecutor of Christians prior to this time would have been quite in tune with the mob mentality of the time. And despite having stood witness to Stephen's peaceful death under stoning, had likely also borne witness to Christians who had denied their faith when facing persecution. And here he uses words similar to what we saw 2 weeks ago in chapter 2. "I was afraid that our labor was in vain." Remember that when what we do doesn't match the message, then our actions are vanity. They're meaningless. In chapter 2, Paul reminded the readers of all the ways in which he and his companions had lived the message of the gospel in the midst of the Thessalonians. What's impressive to me in chapter 3 is building on the way that they live among the new believers. They didn't just behave properly because it was the right thing to do. They actually have deeply genuine affection for them. Look again at verses 6 to 10. "We also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How often do you think of other people that your life is complete because of their faith in the Lord? There's genuine love for them and a desire for them to be saved in Paul's writing. Verse 9, "How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you?" So there's just an immense gratefulness that Paul and his companions have for the Thessalonians, for the time they spent with them, for the faith that they can see, for the good news coming back from Timothy. So much to the point that in verse 10, "Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith." These are words full of passion and genuine longing. Then he moves on to a prayer for them and for himself. "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of God our Father, and when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones." In this prayer, Paul shows his faith that God has the power to affect and influence not only our circumstances, but also our hearts. And this is a reminder for me and for all of us that we can't be in control of our circumstances, but we can pray both for our circumstances and for our hearts and the hearts of other people in our lives. Reflect for a moment on this question. Is there someone in your life that was as influential in your relationship with God as Paul and his companions were for the Thessalonians? If that person were to send somebody like Timothy to check on you today, would they be encouraged by your faith? Or would there be a different result? You see, despite Paul being deeply encouraged by the word from Timothy about the faith of the Thessalonians, he still says something very important in verse 10. We pray that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now, Paul is not talking about theology or doctrine here. Those could be shared in a letter. In fact, he does share some theological and doctrinal points later on in this book and then also in 2 Thessalonians. But there's something special about the strengthening of our faith when we are able to be in face-to-face fellowship with other people. Remember, the gospel isn't just a message. It's a lifestyle that God intended for us to experience in a loving community like Paul did with his companions, with the Thessalonians. It could be pretty soon, Lord willing, that we'll have a chance to meet face to face again, to worship God corporately, to encourage each other, and to enjoy our time together. Now, I pray like Paul did, that the Lord make our love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. If you're with others right now in a small group or meeting in a home somewhere, then spend a few minutes sharing this question. These last few months, what has been lacking in your faith as we've been stuck apart from each other at Capital Community Church? What are you most looking forward to when we see each other again? And what will you be most thankful for when we meet? Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. In Jesus' name, amen.